Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. A federal program that funds the cleanup of abandoned, leaking underground tanks is slated to be cut if the Trump administration's proposed budget goes forward as is. It's a cut that is of concern to Florida in particular, as it's home to 15% of the leaking tanks that have been identified nationwide, and because Florida's drinking water supply is more vulnerable than in most other states. Reporter Ledge King with the USA Today Network filed a report last week on the budget cut to the LUST program. That's an acronym for the Leaking Underground Storage Tank Program. We talked with him earlier today. Tell me about the LUST program. What is it?
It is a program that began in the 1980s as a reaction to some of the problems that were being discovered in terms of pollution and public health hazards. And over time, Congress has assigned millions of dollars to it. In fact, for every gallon of gasoline or diesel fuel that people buy, a tenth of a penny is dedicated to what is called the LUST Fund. And that goes into a trust fund that helps identify and basically clean up leaking underground fuel tanks or those that have been contaminated. They may not be active leakers right now, but they are contaminated sites that pose a public health hazard. And this money goes towards that. So for about 30-plus years, there's been a federal program to help states, and states run essentially the programs in most cases, but there's been a federal program to help states identify and remove these problem sites.
So you say that the EPA says that there are more than 556,000 active tanks nationwide at more than 200,000 sites. Are all of those leaking?
No. Those are just the ones that they know about and are monitoring. There are only about 70,000 that have been discovered or identified as leaking or no longer leak, but the contamination poses a health hazard. So it's 70,000. Out of 550. The backlog, in essence, used to be much higher, and they've slowly but steadily, since 2000, been knocking that number down. The problem with the cut that's being proposed is that it would likely increase the backlog again because it's such a steep cut to the program.
So in Florida, you said that there are 10,000 tanks?
That are
currently on this 70,000 watch list?
Yes, we are number one in the country.
And that's 15% of all across the country.
That's right. And it's not clear why Florida is number one. I mean, it has obviously a lot of people, and there are a lot of gas stations, which are the largest source of these sites. But Florida is ahead of everybody else by far. I think the next state is Michigan at around 8,000.
Yeah. And the top five counties are Miami-Dade, Hillsborough, Pinellas, Duval, and Orange counties.
So, I mean, just what you'd expect. I mean, the most populous counties in most situations, but every county has a lot of these.
Yeah, there are 151 leaks per county on average. So the leaking underground storage tank program is going to, they're proposing that it be cut from $92 million to $47 million. So why are they planning on cutting that?
There's never been a clear reason. I've asked EPA on more than one occasion why this particular cut. I mean, in the context of the EPA budget, more than $8 billion, this is a pittance, a drop in essence. But a lot of these programs are being cut by tremendous amounts. Superfunds getting a huge cut, brownfields, similar programs that attack contaminated sites on the ground. And, I mean, if you're going to cut an agency by 31%, which is what President Trump is proposing, the money has to come somewhere, from somewhere. And this is one program of many that are being cut. So I don't know exactly. I haven't gotten a reason from the EPA that would explain why this particular program was singled out. But I think it's part of a larger cut to the agency that is being felt from in just about every program the agency runs.
Yeah, the overall cut of the EPA, as you said, being 31%. But then when you mention that, up against that 1% tax on gasoline, 0.1%, tax on gas is earmarked to find cleanup costs when a site is abandoned or when the owner of a site doesn't have the resources to clean it up. In 2016, that tax generated $202 million. So they're cutting a $92 million budget to $47 million when the tax to cover the expenses should be more, they would more than cover the initial budget by twice.
Well, let me clear up a little confusion. That money from the tax is still going into the trust fund. So that's money in addition to what the EPA approves or proposes or Congress approves for the discretionary portion of the amount. So really it'd be 202 or whatever they collect this year plus the 92 last year or this year, I should say, and then if this cut were to go into effect, the 47. So it's in addition to. But there's so many of these sites that even that is struggling to keep up with the number of sites that have been identified need to be cleaned up.
Okay, so the 202 is 202 plus the what is budgeted through the EPA that's going towards this.
Yeah, and the money for the EPA often goes for prevention, inspection, and some cleanup. So a lot of the trust fund money from the gas tax probably goes directly to cleanup. And the EPA funding has helped with identification, enforcement, which is very important, inspection, and some cleanup.
So how much does it cost to clean up a site like this?
It can run the gamut. I mean, from I think I've seen as little as $10,000 to as much as $1 million or more. Depends on the complexity of the site, the contaminants on the site, the size of the site. Often many sites will have more than one tank. So if there are multiple leaks, then you've got to obviously address multiple tanks on that site.
Yeah, you have different tanks for different grades of fuel. Are these all old tanks that we're talking about, or are some of them, is there like a date after which the tanks were made better and they didn't leak?
Well, generally it's older tanks. Steel tanks have been found to be the most corrosive. I don't believe those are being made. If they are, they're being made in a way that's more leak-proof. But, of course, the age of a tank also has a lot to do with its vulnerability. So older tanks by nature are going to be more problem than newer ones. But steel has been the most corrosive material, and that's found in a lot of these problem tank sites.
So why are these leaks an issue? What kind of problem are they causing?
Well, it's especially bad in Florida. Let me start from the beginning. Tanks leaking are bad because of the threat to groundwater. And that's true, obviously, everywhere. In Florida, it's a specifically bad problem because the water tables are so close to the surface. So a leak in Florida is considered much more of a potential hazard than a leak in many other states. So it is a big concern among public health and environmental activists and counties, for that matter, who want to get rid of these sites, who want to clean them up and make sure that the groundwater does not get contaminated.
And we're not just talking about gasoline. There are other chemicals like benzene and toluene.
Yeah, benzene's been MTBEs as well. All these things that are supposed to help improve the octane of fuel. Benzene is, I may be speaking out of school here, so I'm not sure, but I believe benzene's been banned because of its potential health hazard. But yeah, there are other chemicals. I mean, there are chemicals, there are additives to the gasoline. Mm-hmm. It's mainly gasoline oil, but there are additives that are toxic that have been added that are obviously leaking when the gas leaks.
So the tanks that we're talking about are all generally, you know, convenience stores or stores that just offer gas tanks, that have gas tanks up above.
Well, not just that. I mean, that's a big part of it, but there's also, for instance, a government fleet or taxi fleet garages where they store fuel. There are universities and hospitals that have generators on site that also store fuel in case of an emergency, and they need the fuel to power their generators. So those are among the other sites that are on this list. I mean, a lot of government sites because they keep fuel.
Well, one of them that you talked about was the impact of contaminated water at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. What happened there?
Well, for decades, the camp was contaminated by these leaking fuel tanks that got into the drinking water and caused a lot of sickness and cancers, Parkinson's disease. And the problem went undetected or unreported for decades, as I said, until finally it came out and the VA earlier this year agreed to recognize anybody who had served at least a month in the camp from 1953 through 1980s. So 30 plus years. If you've spent 1 month at least there stationed or your families, you are entitled to what they call service benefits. That is to say that if you developed a certain kind of cancer, you there would be no questions asked. It would be assumed that you got that because of your time there. So, I mean, that's an unprecedented sort of concession by the government to do something like this. It obviously speaks to the widespread exposure, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of people that were exposed over that period, maybe more than a million.
It's surprising that the government would come forward and do that.
Well, I mean, when the evidence is overwhelming, people have to make concessions and accept responsibility. And that was, I mean, people would argue that they took way too long to even agree to this. I mean, this was a problem that was discovered several years ago, and it's just now getting the remedy, so to speak.
Well, meanwhile, we have tanks all around the country, 70,000 that you mentioned earlier, that are leaking in communities across the country. Kind of doing the same thing, but maybe on a smaller scale.
Yeah, I mean, some of this is hard to prove. I mean, when things leak into the groundwater and the groundwater travels to many places and people develop certain illnesses, it's very hard sometimes to identify what the source is. I looked at some cases back in the 70s and 80s when this problem was really sort of hitting a high point. And there were cases of, you know, a little girl developing leukemia in Iowa and a Connecticut church that had leaking tanks and people. So there were these sort of these spotty anecdotal cases of problems being discovered and in some cases illnesses perhaps, but it's not easy to tie a disease with an environmental outcome or environmental situation. So it's difficult out there, but I mean, I think there's a general consensus that you don't want to live next to a tank that's leaking.
And in some cases, you wouldn't even know because some of these tanks are so old. Does the EPA map really, really old ones that don't have an existing convenience store and may have a neighborhood on top of them?
We asked the EPA for the location of every single tank that it was in the country, at least the ones that have been identified as leaking. Their answer was that we don't monitor it, the states do. So in the case of Florida, I asked Florida Department of Environmental Protection if they had a map or a spreadsheet that would list where these sites are. And they did, and we did get that. So the short answer is no. There's no national map that we're aware of that has this, at least not maintained by the EPA. It's a matter of going to the state and finding out where these are. And the people may not know to ask that question, then they should.
Yeah, that's not one of the things that you have inspected when you buy a home. That doesn't pop up.
No.
You know?
No, and often these sites are not necessarily that close to the home. But remember, if they get into their water table, they can travel.
Well, and the thing with the Florida water table, as you mentioned earlier, it's particularly vulnerable because it's so shallow.
That's right. So you don't know It can travel quickly. A leak does not have to be in the ground or not have to be happening for very long for it to pose a danger to public health.
Yeah.
How much time that is on a case-by-case basis. And I don't want to alarm people. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of cases where these things have leaked and they don't pose an immediate public threat. But over time, they probably do.
Yeah. And currently, the House Appropriations Committee voted in July to restore almost all of this funding, but then the House and Senate hasn't yet acted. Are we still in a wait-and-see mode as far as what's going to ultimately happen with the budget?
Yes, we are. There's a number of programs that at least the House Appropriations have restored. For example, Superfund, the Superfund program I spoke about, which was about 30%, the Superfund program is being proposed for about a 30% cut, and the House Appropriations Committee has voted to restore just about all of that as well. So there is definitely pushback in Congress, but the Senate and the House have yet to act, and there are a number of financial bills that are coming up, the debt ceiling, for example, the bill, any legislation to keep the government going past the end of the fiscal year on September 30th. The relief bill for Harvey that is coming up through the Congress right now. Those are all things that are forcing Congress to have to deal with other financial crises or emergencies. And it's not clear what will happen to the program, for the LUST program, until Congress comes back and it's before them. And there's nothing to stop the administration from saying, you know, fine, we'll raise the debt ceiling or we'll fund the government or we'll give you this program, but you got to let us keep these programs, keep the cuts that we're proposing for these programs, and one of those could be LUST. So it's unclear. It's murky waters.
Well, there's been a lot of scrutiny in light of Hurricane Harvey, and now we're looking at Hurricane Irma heading our direction in Florida. And now they're talking about tying Hurricane Harvey recovery funding to the overall budget, and it could get a little confusing. And something like this $92 million, which sounds like a lot of money to most of the world, but is just a drop in the bucket, as you said, when it comes to the EPA's budget, could fall through the cracks. However, the EPA is kind of coming under some scrutiny this week.
Yeah, and there are so many balls in the air at this point, and it's hard to know what will come out of this whole budget fight. As you mentioned, Irma is barreling towards the U.S., and who knows what that's going to inflict. So we don't know what's going to happen after that, and Congress will be distracted by a number of different fights, a number of different issues, and it's unclear exactly what the fate of this program will be.
I mean, while small, it is still important to the communities that are sitting here with these tanks that are leaking underground and affecting their drinking water.
I mean, I would think so. It's one of those programs that doesn't get much attention because it is such a small part of the budget, but I think it has, at least the people I've talked to, think it has an overwhelmingly enormous impact on public health.
That was USA Today Network reporter Ledge King talking with us from his Washington office about his article, "Trump Cut in Leaking Fuel Tank Cleanups Could Leave Florida Fuming." You can find a link to that article on our website at WGCUnews.org. Just click on the Gulf Coast Live tab. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. We'll